Hello, I'm Jason Ball, and this is Friends with Friends, a podcast where we look at all 236 episodes of the TV show Friends, one episode at a time. I am joined again by my good friends, Jackie and Vanessa.
Hi, I'm Jackie Rodriguez. I am the ultimate Friends fan. I love Friends. It's an understatement. I just love it every day, all day.
And I'm Vanessa Martinez, and I am six episodes in of Friends, and I'm a newbie and started watching during quarantine. So here we are.
All right. This is a fun episode. The sixth episode, The One with the Butt, premiered on October 27th to 18.2 million people. Jax, take us through the quick overview.
So Joey finally breaks into showbiz, playing Al Pacino's butt. Chandler starts dating Aurora, who has a husband and a boyfriend, and is totally out of Chandler's league. The friends also point out how particular Monica is about her cleanliness after Rachel cleans the apartment. And then all the friends were like, uh-oh, why did you clean the apartment?
There's a lot going on here.
There is
a good Joey episode. You realize that, you know, the struggle that he's gone through. The first time that they mention his agent, Estelle Leonard, even though we don't see her, she comes up to be an interesting character.
Oh, yeah. She becomes one of those kind of iconic, like Janice, iconic recurring characters in the whole series.
Will we see her at any time soon? Because I think we heard about her.
We don't see her for, I think, a few more episodes. But I love the first scene in this episode. The song that Joey sings for Freud.
That was like, funny.
All you want is a tingle. What you envy is a schwang. Things about you which you can tinkle or play with or simply let hang. I'm like, what?
What is this? Yeah. It's so funny that weird experimental theater that, you know, goes on all over New York. It's funny that he's been doing all of this but just can't get through the top. I thought it was also interesting. It's the first episode that doesn't start in Central Park.
Yeah, it starts in the theater. Yeah. I didn't even realize that. Think about it.
And then Chandler sees the woman across the way and finally gets. I love how they have to talk. The guys have to talk one another into doing all these things, and whether it's approaching the woman or whatever it is. It's just, it's funny. I guess it's that internal dialogue shown in external light.
Yeah, it's like the pep talk one needs before they actually like do something, you know? Guys, supporting guys.
Guys do that probably more than women do.
Yeah, I would think so too. Because, like, normally you'd wait for somebody to come up to you. You wait for a guy to come up to you. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think men need more of that pep talk.
How did you meet your husband, Vanessa?
So we actually met working at our very first job. In high school, we used to work for a city, and then we kind of just met there. We met on the 4th of July. It was his first day, and we were working the 4th of July event. So I just saw him, and I actually, you know, was able to kind of like walk around more than he was at his job or on that day for his particular job. So, you know, I would like walk around like, oh, there's a new kid. Let's, you know, try to get to know him and stuff. And we all discussed, oh, you know, it's going to be at 9 p.m. They're going to launch the fireworks. Let's all watch together. And so I made it a point, you know, to tell my husband, Caesar, hey, we're going to watch the fireworks at 9. Come join us. So
you invited him other way around.
There you go.
So that was
very modern.
And how old were you? You guys have been together forever.
I was like 17, I think. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you.
All right, Jackie, what else?
So this, like we mentioned, this is the very first episode where we see Joey in his acting and everything. It's very Joey centric. And so, like we mentioned, with Estelle coming in, and then Estelle gets him his first gig. And then what is it? It's Al Pacino's butt.
But it's so funny because he's so excited about it. Like, it's like, I'm going to be in a big movie with Al Pacino, you know? And then when they're like, oh my God, what are you going to do? And then he like kind of slyly says like, I'm going to be his butt.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I love that. The friends are so excited for him because the way he's telling it, you know, when you have good news, you can't wait to tell your friends. And the way he's saying it in the apartment, Al Pacino, or I'm going to be in Al Pacino's movie. It's so funny. The way their dynamic is just so great.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm sure it's exciting just to be on a set like that, in a big, you know, movie set like that. So for someone who's been struggling in doing these little black box experimental theater thing where, yeah, you know, that night was probably the most people that ever came to the show because he brought six friends or five friends.
He was half of it was half of the theater.
Yeah.
And then they also note, we also kind of get a timeline about Joey's career, is they also know I've been doing this for 6 years, and that when he's explaining the butt scene. So yeah, we get a timeline of how long he's been at it.
I love when he gets there, and it's, you know, the director is actually James Burrows.
Yeah, I didn't realize that until later as well, because James Burrows, he's such a known director with Cheers and Will and Grace and every other 30-minute sitcom, seems like.
Yeah, so he actually plays the director of the movie, and then it's funny when Joey does take off his thing, and you can see the shadow of his – he's obviously wearing shorts. He's wearing shorts, but
yeah. Another thing I noticed too was when the camera would take a shot of James Burrows, you could see a box behind him that says Monica. So maybe it was like a box meant for Monica,
backstage.
But like, yeah, backstage box, but it said Monica's.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. And yeah. I was like, I paused the scene and I was like trying to read exactly what it said and trying to take a little peek myself, but nothing.
So they, you think they shot it on their own, like backstage? Mm-hmm. That's actually backstage of the,
yeah, I think the set? I think so. Oh, I mean, it seems easier since they have everything kind of already set up.
Yeah, if they shot it, because when I did the Friendsgiving Warner Brothers tour, we actually visited Stage 24 where they shot Friends. So the whole setup is that they have three in a row, the three rooms. So on the right side is Central Perk, in the middle is Monica and Rachel's apartment, and on the left side is Joey and Chandler's apartment. So, and they have another part where they can fiddle with, like, make different scenarios. So there's four different rooms. So I wonder if, like, that part was where they shot it. So it's a big stage, huge stage, and the way that's laid out, I'm sure they had some backstage area to mess with.
And somehow he still screws up being a butt double.
Yeah, he took him like three times. All he had to do was shower, but he was making the weirdest faces. And they're like, what are you doing?
He was clenching his butt. Oh, it's so funny. And then I just love that they put the actual director in that as well, because it could have been any actor. So I wonder what kind of conversation in the writer's room, when the writers first wrote this, what kind of conversation they had with James Burrows, because a lot of behind the scenes people don't like to be in front of the camera. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting that they actually used James Burrows, if he volunteered or if he was like, okay, I'll do it, or they just couldn't find another actor. So, or was it a nod to him, you know?
I mean, he didn't direct that episode, right?
No, he didn't. It was Arlene Stanford.
Okay, so that was funny. I wonder if it was like her idea. She's like, "Oh, let's have James be the director." Or, you know, but I thought it was a great little Easter egg, almost, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, for people to discover at some point, or in an inside joke, I guess.
Yeah. Because if you're not, like, I remember years ago the Friends reunion that they had with just five of them, I forget who was missing, but it was during an NBC special all dedicated to James Burrows. And I was like, who's James Burrows? I didn't know who this guy was. I didn't realize that he directed so many episodes of Friends. So that kind of opened up another knowledge of Friends, is like who this guy was. So I think,
or maybe it was a budget thing too. They didn't want to have to hire another actor. Who knows?
You know, yeah, right? That's true, because we are still in the first season. So you know, who knows? They didn't know how this was going to take off after one season, and it did, but they didn't know then because they're shooting it, you know, summertime, you know, the year before. So
I think this episode is also the first of the Rachel haircut, right? The Rachel.
Oh yeah, her like stylish hair, you know, up to the
iconic number, the on the up the shoulder, and then almost to the chin line on the second layer.
Yeah, that became a thing. And Rachel actually, or Jennifer Aniston actually told Allure, she says, "I hated that haircut." I think because it had so many layers, you know? So she hated the haircut. It became such a thing. And everybody, it was like an iconic.
Totally. I mean, it was different. It was really cute. It was a cute haircut. From, mm-hmm. Did you guys have it?
I think at one point, yeah, I did.
Yeah, at one point too. I think my mom had it at that time too.
And it's interesting that she hated it. I wonder if she just hated like the attention focused on her hair instead of on her, you know, acting, her performance, or because a lot of, I feel like that's a, like Julia Roberts used to have all that, you know, that really curly mane, and then suddenly it was all gone. I'm like, why would you do that? And Kerry Russell, remember when she was on Felicity, she had that, and everyone was talking about her hair, and suddenly then she just cut it all off.
I remember that episode of Felicity. I was like, what is she doing?
Who knows? But Rachel looks great in every episode I've seen so far. So. Right? She still looks great.
Her hair looks really, that is a great cut for her, though. It works well for her. And you know, for sure, she needs to keep that going. All right, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about... Oh, I don't know. What are we going to talk about?
Our favorite line. Oh, okay.
And Chandler's relationship with Aurora.
Okay, we'll talk about that when we come back.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
All right, we are back. We got a few more things to talk about. The episode, the one with the butt, which is too funny.
It was so funny. So the main thing is all about Joey and his acting, but also we see Chandler and, you know, trying to have a relationship with Aurora, which is weird because she's married and then she has a boyfriend. And then she tells Chandler, well, maybe this relationship can just be about sex. And when he's telling the first date story, I like how they went from, you know, him telling his friends in Central Perk, and then they go to a scene where they actually see Aurora and Chandler on their date. And so I like how that kind of is told for us.
Like the cutaway shot?
Yeah. It's funny, too, because on the surface, you would think that Chandler would be into this sort of thing, because it's, like he says, it's all the good parts and none of the bad parts of being in a relationship. But it actually shows him developing a little more, too, and that, you know, that he is a little deeper and more emotional than he lets on.
But he still ends up going on a date with her.
He has a whole relationship with her, but then he has to dump her because she's got too many boyfriends.
Yeah. But what's weird is that they went on a date in Central Park. And so I'm you couldn't go to a restaurant and they have Chandler dressed up like he's in a blazer and a nice shirt, and then you have him, you know, telling the story to his friends at Central Park, the same location, and he's like more casual. So I'm like, they couldn't have taken him to a restaurant.
And did you guys notice how when they were on the date it looked completely empty, like they were in a corner, you know? I think if I remember, the lights were dim, and you know, so that was a little strange. But I mean, maybe he was saving his money. I don't know.
That's a coffee date, kind of a first date coffee date.
Testing the waters.
Yeah,
I still wouldn't wear a blazer to a coffee date.
Chandler would, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, with his vest. So maybe.
Yeah. So the actress, Sophia Milos, she went on to CSI Miami. She was in had a couple of seasons of that too. So it's interesting to see these people who start as a one-off and then they're kind of in this TV world and then get a bigger role.
Yeah. There's so many actors that start off on Friends and to this day, they're still acting on different things.
Yeah. I talk about funny role, funniest lines or favorite lines is when we haven't really talked about Monica's obsession with the cleaning.
Mm-hmm. No.
And then she gets through all this and she goes, what does it mean? And Ross goes, your mom.
But I think it's so funny because it's like, the older I get, the more I realize I have tendencies that my mom has with certain things. And I'm like, oh my God, that's something my mom would do. Like, you know, and all along, like when I, you know, lived at home, it was like, oh my gosh, my mom's making me do this again. But now here I am doing what she would make me do.
I totally relate to that too. Me and my sister, me and my sister both moved out of our homes, like at 20 years old. Like she came to San Diego, I came, you know, to Fullerton, and we still have these like aha moments between us. Oh my gosh, I'm doing this, what mom did. Oh, my mom. And I'm okay with that because my mom is an angel and I will be lucky if I'm ever like her. But it's all her little like things that she does, you know, like
even totally. Just like the way she cleans, like the type of like granite counter cleaner that I have. I buy the one that my mom buys because my mom buys it. Right. I think it works great, you know.
It's true. You do, certainly the way you learn things. And it's, even going back to the last episode, I do laundry the same way my mother does.
Yeah,
I fold the towels the same way she folds them. You know, Troy folds them differently, and it used to make me crazy. I'm like, it's okay, you can fold the towels differently.
And I like how much, like, we know that Monica is very particular in earlier episodes, but we actually see it here because all the friends are giving her different scenarios. And what set it off was the green ottoman that Rachel, after she cleaned, she had in a different spot. And then she was like, oh, I see you put the green ottoman here, you know, the green chair, whatever it was. And then all the friends like, uh-oh.
Like, you know, the green ottoman, oh no.
It's like a known thing that you cannot touch anything in the apartment or you will be in trouble.
And that carries on through the series because in later episodes, Chandler tries to clean and he freaks out over it.
A couple of thoughts on this whole thing is, Rachel is so proud of herself. She cleaned the apartment. I think it's hilarious. I mean, she's so proud. And then that everybody knows not to touch the green ottoman.
Yes. And I like how they ended too. You know, the last scene is Monica there, like thinking about the shoes that she left out. And you're a kook. Like, you're going to go crazy. Like, look at you. You're stepping out of your cleanly bubble. Like, going to leave the shoes? Oh, no. And then she can't do it. She gets thinking about it at night.
But it's so funny because sometimes, you know, if I can't sleep and I'm thinking about something, like just last night, you know, I haven't watered my plants in 2 weeks. And I was like, it's going to be hot again tomorrow. I have to go water it or else it's going to like die. And I don't want it to die. So there I was like at midnight grabbing, you know, my little water, whatever you use to water the plants. And there I was watering the plants because I didn't want them to die.
Oh my God. At midnight, Vanessa, what does Caesar do? He's like, okay,
you might be Monica too. You're both Monica.
Totally. Yeah. We all have our ways with how we clean and very particular. I have a lot of things organized in my apartment.
But I think it also lends to the storyline that they hang out at Monica's because it's the nicest apartment, it's always clean, it's always well kept. They're not going to hang out in Joey and Chandler's where there's, you know, two armchairs in front of the TV.
Yeah, exactly.
She always has food.
Yeah. And funny you should mention that, because in later episodes when they switch apartments, Monica has trouble adjusting that she doesn't have the main apartment. So that will be carried on through the series as well.
That's all right. All right. So favorite lines from this episode.
Mine is for, again, because this is a very Joey-centric episode. Mine is when Joey tells his friends that he's playing Al Pacino's, but Chandler delivers this so perfectly. He says, this is terrific. After all of your years of struggling, you've finally been able to crack your way into show business. And I loved how just the reaction of the audience, they just laugh for a long time because he just delivers it so well, Matthew.
That's my favorite line too.
Same with me too.
Yeah, I really agree. I do love the Phoebe line though, after he loses the part and then she's talking about the someday a kid's gonna run up into his friends and say, I got the part, I'm Joey Tribbiani's ass.
And that's another part or another scene where we see Phoebe like kind of smoothing over. You know, she had the Jack and the Beanstalk talk with Rachel and the one with George Stephanopoulos, and now we see this. So I like how she is this ethereal character that, you know, has this wisdom and kind of you know, takes her friends through it all. So she, another scene that she kind of levels it out for them.
All right. That was fun. That was exciting. Coming up on the next episode of Friends with Friends, Paolo shows up.
Oh, I'm so
ruins
good.
Everything. And then Chandler gets stuck in the ATM vestibule with a very famous person now too. So that'll be interesting to talk about her, who that is. So if you like Friends with Friends, please subscribe, give us 5 stars, leave nice comments.
And follow us on Instagram, Friends with Friends Podcast.